Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We're here for 25 more minutes talking about what's happening in our country and in our world. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, Walker Wildman, and Chris Woodward. Fred Jackson joins us for the first hour, and either Steve Jordahl or Chris join us for the last half hour. You can check our program out on today's on our new YouTube channel. Well, it's not a channel. Is it a channel?
It is. It's a Today's Issues YouTube channel.
Okay. So just go to YouTube, and you can watch the show live there, right?
That's right. Go to YouTube in the search bar, type in Today's Issues Live. Then one of the top links will be our live video stream, okay. And you can watch there.
And you can also watch on Facebook Live.
That's right.
Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Hey, let me mention real quickly before we get back to the news, our June Washington, D.C., Mount Vernon, Washington, D.C. / Mount Vernon Spiritual Heritage Tour is full. This is how early it filled up last year. So it's full.
Wow, February, and it's already filled up.
The June trip.
Yeah.
Now, we do have a September option, and it's still seats available. So if you wanted to go on a vacation with a purpose, then maybe this is for you. Our trip to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon. September is a beautiful time, usually. In our nation's capital, mid-September. So if that's something you'd like to do, you can view the itinerary, read all about the tour, and Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation, which is a ministry that his expertise is on early American history and the Christian influence on our country. You can check out, and we also go to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, too, in a separate trip, but they're back-to-back if you want to do both, but you don't have to. You can do one or either, or as they say, either or. So check it out at our spiritualheritagetours.com website, spiritualheritagetours.com website. All the information you need to know is there about our spiritual heritage tours. If you want to go with us in September, check that out. Now, we do have a few seats available for the Williamsburg-Jamestown tour in June if you want to check that out as well. Chris Woodward, good morning to you, sir.
Hello, thank you very
much.
What's
happening?
Well, a lot going on here. It's hard to follow, Fred, but I will do my best and certainly
Fred
make
Fred provided
Steve
very
proud.
Little happy news for us, Chris. I'm just going to warn you. So are you going to continue to bring us down?
Well, here's a hard news story with a humorous twist. Would you rather go to jail or confess to your crime on Facebook Live? That's what an accused thief in Cocoa, Florida had to choose between after a cocoa shop owner said he caught him in the act of stealing. Bohemian Lair owner Bo Larson said in his Facebook Live video posted Monday, Tyler Stanley stole from his smoke shop in Cocoa Village at the same time he applied for a news job. Here's a news report, clip 3.
You got 100 people watching you right
That's
now.
That's fine. I wish it was a million.
The voice off camera is store owner Bo Larson. His recording shows mercy on Stanley. He gives the thief the option of being arrested or publicly apologizing. Larson says on Saturday, Stanley came in and applied for a job. In the same visit, he stole something. Stanley returned yesterday to learn he was caught on surveillance camera with police on site. He admitted stealing, but also said he didn't remember because he says he's bipolar.
I really don't remember doing it. I would have never done that if I was in my right mind.
Larson deleted the video earlier this afternoon. The store tells News 6 it attracted more attention than they wanted.
The next time you're going to steal from someone, don't fill out an application.
I'm one of the biggest losers in there, and I wish I remember doing it.
In Cocoa, I'm James Sparvero, News 6.
Now, I took a tip from our crack reporter here, Brent, and went to Bo Larson's Facebook page. And Bo said, that Facebook Live apology went viral, 16,000 plus views in 24 hours, two major networks stopped by, who would have thought, wanted to recoup the money for the item that was stolen and have the individual know we don't tolerate thefts and to deter others. He goes on to say that he hopefully learned his lesson and went on from there, and he linked to the same news report we just aired. What do you guys think? The Bible does tell us your sin will find us. We'll find you out.
We'll find us.
Yes, well, that too.
Well, listen, first of all, this is bizarre. This is a sad individual. I mean, he's gone to apply for a job while he's there. You ever see those articles, 10 things not to do when you're applying for a job?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Here's what you should do. This has got to be, this has got to be top five. You don't steal something from the place you're applying at or applying when you're applying for a job. But
well,
then,
it's a bad first impression.
It is a bad first impression. Then he says his excuse is, I don't remember doing it. So if you're so, he says he's bipolar, maybe he's taking medication, maybe he's high, I don't know. But if you don't remember stealing something, who's going to hire you to do anything else?
Did he confess to something he didn't remember doing?
He did.
He did. Well, because he was on camera. He was on camera doing it.
He just chalk up a lie right there. So he's got about three of the top ten. He's got about three of the top ten commandments.
Yeah.
Covered in this 1 15-minute ordeal here.
I mean, he's caught on camera.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But now his only defense is, I don't remember doing it. And so, okay, we know you did steal because we have it on video. But if you can't remember whether you stole, I'm not going to put you in charge of a cash register. I'm not going to put you in charge of, driving somewhere and picking up something for the store, because you're gonna forget where you are and you're gonna wind up in San Francisco.
Yeah, that was a story last year. We aired it in one of the newscasts, and I don't remember the state, but there was a young lady that was hired for a job at a pizza place. And she apparently didn't really want the job, and she went on social media in the hours before she was supposed to start, and she complained and said not so nice things about the place that had just hired her. Well, the shop owner happened to see her social media post and said, "Don't bother coming in, you're fired."
On
the social media platform.
Wow.
So this is not the only example of social media and job situations gone awry.
Hey, if I can pick, I hope I'm not ever in this situation, but if I can pick between a confession on Facebook or jail, I'll pick a confession on Facebook any day.
You know, but the thing is, he's done.
Yeah.
My dad always had an expression. He'd say, he's done for. This guy's done for.
Yes.
I mean, this is going to follow
him
forever.
Who's going to hire him?
I mean, at least if he
I don't know. If Hillary runs for president again, I could see a spot for him on the
in her administration, at
least.
Yeah,
I really could. Yeah. I mean,
Secretary of Labor.
He can bleach bid her server for her.
I don't remember. I'm bipolar.
I don't remember deleting all these emails.
You know, if somebody's offended, I apologize to them.
Kind of the Bill Clinton thing.
Yeah.
I don't remember having sex with that
woman.
I didn't
have sex with that woman. So I think there is a possibility for Bo, but that's, 3 years away.
I slipped into a Ronald Reagan
impression.
Yeah, I think
you did there. Anyway.
But at the end of the day, what difference does it make?
That's good, Walker.
Well done. Well done. I like
it. Good. Now, what about the concept, though, of public shaming? So the store owner basically had mercy on the fella.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He said, okay, I mean, if that's what you want to call it, I can call the cops and you can go to jail, or you can go on camera here and admit what you've done.
That's like they used to do in Pilgrim America. They used to put you in the stockade, in the stocks. And you stood there with your head through and your arms,
yeah,
your hands through.
Stockades.
And so then everyone knew what you did.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is a, there's something to be said. I remember an article, a cover story in Newsweek magazine. This is from like 1990 or something. And it was a story, the headline on the front of the magazine said, America, the loss of shame. Mm-hmm. In society, they were speaking broad, and this was from a secular magazine.
Yeah,
but they were lamenting the fact that we were losing our sense of embarrassment or of shame with respect to things that in America's history had been considered something you don't do.
Well, now it's considered wrong to shame anyone. Like they're always talking about fat shaming or
Yeah, but it's okay to do anything. It's okay to be sexually explicit,
right?
But
you shouldn't shame someone for
or
their
to talk
sexual
about homosexuality
activity
or something like that.
Right.
But if you talk about that being inappropriate, you know, or the language in a TV show or in public, just in real life. People, you know, I know I've seen this out before. You know, you go somewhere and somebody's using open profanity, and somebody will say something to them, and then that person will say, mind your own business, you know, or something like that. There's no shame.
Well, can I just give a little personal story here?
Yeah.
I won't mention the fast food place. This goes, in fact, my wife just finally, we went to it just the other day for the first time in like 10 years, because 10 years ago, I stopped by this fast food place. I had done some church business and was swinging by to get something to eat. Walked in, there was hardly anybody in there. I think one other little couple there. And I walk in, order my food. While I'm waiting for my food, the two guys, two teenagers behind the counter, started cussing each other out loud. I can't even tell you what they said. It was bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't just some of the lower ranking.
Yeah.
You know, these were the upper echelon of the cussing ladder. And I was stunned. And so they got it done, and I walked over to the manager. She had come around to fill the ketchup thing or whatever, and I said, I could tell you I'm not a prude. I said, but it's a good thing I didn't have my family in here. You know, I would have been very embarrassed to have my wife hearing that kind of language. How come you didn't stop them? Or I didn't see you berate them or correct them. She looked at me like I had two heads. Like, what's your problem?
Yeah.
So I called the district, the district, whatever I could find. I'm sure they did nothing, but I was stunned. I was saying, you're letting these kids.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of the pop culture now with the profanity or obscenities, you know, taken as that's just the way a lot of these people talk to one another, especially the young people.
Right. I will say that
they don't think anything about it. I mean, they're not thinking anything. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, you know, I didn't become a Christian until my late 20s, so I have to live with all the really stupid things I did up until 28 years of age. Mm-hmm. And I was not a good employee at a grocery store that I worked at in my teens and early 20s. I also should have saved for college, but that's another
story. Hey, can we put you on Facebook Live?
Sure. If it saves one kid,
let's do a confession. You name where you were, who you worked for, and what you did.
By the way, kids, if you feel the urge to cuss, crack open the Bible and read Colossians 3:8. It's good advice. We should avoid filthy communication, as it says.
Yeah, but I guess I'm just not that, you know, profanity hadn't been around since the dawn of man, probably. But I'm just saying. There used to be in our society, you know, hey, as Ed said, hey, the kids are present, you know, women, hey, the women in the room, don't talk like that. That's gone, for the most part. You'll hear people talking to each other and using the kinds of language. I'll tell you two other things. One in particular where we've lost our sense of shame in society. I'll give you an example of this. And again, when we talk about these kinds of things. God offers us forgiveness for our sins.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
So, and also, we as Christians are not to be self-righteous people. I mean, the Bible teaches against self-righteousness, true?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But because you talk about a standard and how we need to try to strive for that, doesn't mean we're judging other people's souls.
Right.
You know, as if we're better than them as human beings. We're, as the old expression goes, we're all beggars. Christians are just beggars showing other beggars where the food is,
right,
so to speak. Uh-huh. But I will say this. You remember, and Ed would remember this. I don't know if Chris and Walker would fall into this category, but when we were in high school, if a girl got pregnant, usually she went off somewhere to have the baby.
Yeah, went to visit an aunt.
I can remember one or two, and I was in a big high school. I'm talking about 350 in my class.
Yeah,
but I can remember a couple, three girls who got pregnant. But the reason they went off somewhere, so to speak, was to have their baby, was there was a sense of community shame associated with wedlock birth. Out of wedlock births.
Right.
Okay, and it doesn't mean, again, nobody's saying that that young lady can't be forgiven. And there's also a young man who's just who's involved in it too. So nobody's making that kind of a judgment. But there was a societal shame or denouncement involved in having babies without being married.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Well, that went away when, I don't know when, in the last
Yes, and since we're started on that, since we're venting,
yeah.
I'll vent a little bit. The not only is there no shame in out of wedlock births, but there's increased criticism of young married people wanting to have children and multiple children. For example, let's say you get pregnant in high school out of wedlock. You will hardly ever hear anyone criticize you, at least not publicly. And oftentimes they'll pat you on the back, which encouragement's fine. But on the opposite end of the spectrum, you get married at 23 or 24 and tell somebody in public you want to have children or you want to have seven of them. They're like, oh, you really want to have seven? Goodness, that's a handful. I don't know how you're going to handle that. You might want to rethink that.
Right.
It's two different ways of looking at things.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But when you lose your sense of shame in a society over things that should be, then you normalize it and becomes more of it. So what we see happen when people begin to not have a sense of shame about having babies without being married, then the flood came. And now 73% of all African-American children are born without a dad. Mm-hmm. 40%
present in the home. Yeah.
Present in the home.
Yeah.
40-something percent of whites, I think it is.
And growing.
So, and Hispanics are about somewhere in the middle there, I think, of that number. But the other thing is, so you got that going on. Then the second thing that happens is that happened in our society was we began to give all these welfare programs where everybody got free money. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be, I remember my mom telling me that these kinds of stories. Sure, she was in her 70s now, but there used to be a societal shame about taking government assistance. Nobody wanted to do that. And if they had to do it, they only wanted to do it for the shortest period of time they could because people had pride about providing their own way in life. Well, that changed too. Now we got, I'm not trying to be ugly here or quote judgmental about people who, you know, legitimately, you know, are,
need
they don't
help.
Have, they need help.
Yeah.
Cause they're desperate. I know that happens and we need to help people in that situation. But when you go from that kind of attitude to stores, hey, use your EBT card here. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's all over the place. Have you seen this?
Oh yeah.
And so I thought the other day, I thought we've gone from a wanting to carry your own weight and, you know, not using government aid unless you absolutely have to and for the shortest time period possible to, you know, use your government EBT card here. We take that. And so it's just common, mm-hmm. common practice. So you lost your shame associated with taking handouts.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And many other things that we have, our culture's just completely changed. And if you talk about that, like I just did, there will be people who will say, so you don't like poor people. No, really, that's what they'll say.
Yeah.
Or they'll say, oh, you're so judgmental. A girl gets pregnant you're self-righteous because you think you got it all together. Or something. Mm-hmm. You know how this works?
Yeah.
How they try to reverse shame?
Yes.
You know?
Right. Reverse shame you for shaming.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What's next, Chris Woodward?
Well, talking about the culture changing and shaming and people not wanting to take things from the government, in today's America, you have a lot of states and municipalities thumbing their nose at the government. In one example today on Fox News, the headline here is, in swipe at Trump, Berkeley becomes sanctuary city for marijuana. Berkeley apparently declared itself...
Berkeley, where, California?
Berkeley. Declared itself a sanctuary city for marijuana use. The city council voted unanimously yesterday to become a sanctuary city for legal adult-use marijuana. The resolution prohibits city agencies and employees from assisting in enforcing federal marijuana laws and share information on legal cannabis activities. Apparently, the DEA and other federal agencies and agents rely on states and municipalities to give them information to help them in their war on drugs or whatever you might want to call it. And Berkeley says, we're not going to do that anymore, which builds off California's ongoing effort to be part of the resistance.
Can they just leave?
California?
There is an effort underway.
Technically, they could leave.
Huh?
Technically, they could.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we fought a civil war over it. I don't know legally if
they would be allowed. Well, I think it has to go through Congress. I think even if the state approves secession, I think a Congress has to approve it, which is unlikely.
It does present an economic situation. A lot of people are not familiar with this, but California does bring in a large chunk of the federal revenue. So if they were to leave, what would we do to replace that money? Are we going to have to look at increasing taxes? What do we do?
First of all, we're talking about stuff that's not going to happen. I was being facetious.
Right, yeah.
But Cali exit, you know, that was the thing that some Californians wanted to leave the union after President Trump was elected because they were ashamed of him. But you got these nutty things coming out of California all the time, you know, one city after another. Yep. I don't know how you can, there probably needs to be a limit of how many sanctuary crimes you can protect before you do disqualify yourself from membership in the country.
Yeah.
You know, because here we have, California's declared themselves a sanctuary city against cooperating with the feds on illegal immigration. And now what they're saying is we're not cooperating on marijuana laws. Drug enforcement. So, you know, but yet they want money from the federal government for police and so forth.
And, you know, this has been my personal observation. A lot of people on the left for years have talked about how states' rights and local rights, personal rights, are a bad thing. How dare you be in favor of that? And since Trump got elected, we've seen a growing increase of people on the left that all of a sudden are talking about states' rights when they have historically tried to make people a bigot for supporting it.
If you had a governor say, we're a sanctuary state for the unborn here, the left would go nuts. You can't disobey federal law.
Right.
The
Supreme That's a really Court, good point.
The yeah. Supreme Court has thus ruled. You can't outlaw, I mean, you can't say it's a sanctuary state for unborn children. You know, that's what the left would do.
Yeah.
If you had their.
That's a really good point because they would go ballistic.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
We are just about out of time. Chris, what do you guys, I want to give you 1 minute to promote onenewsnow.com.
Yes. Onenewsnow.com is the website for American Family Radio News, or American Family News as we call it. We've got a lot of information there. It's not just from what you hear in our top of the hour newscasts. We've got a lot of things that don't even make the newscast. So if you don't hear it on the news, that's why I say for more news, go to onenewsnow.com. We've got AP material from the Associated Press. We've got guest columns. Dan Celia writes things from time to time. Dr. Michael Brown, a whole host of people, Star Parker, basically friends of the program here. So if you don't hear it on the news, check out onenewsnow.com and keep going, because our crack editing team, Jody Brown, Billy Davis, Melanie Manning, and others do an exceptional job of keeping that up to speed, and we love them for that.
How did you grade out Fred Jackson, your boss?
He is the greatest man I know named Fred Jackson.
So he's a good leader over there?
Yes.
What a question.
Huh?
Yeah. Well, we won't tell him.
No,
Chris,
you can be honest with us.
Hey, open. Let me tell you this.
He's probably not even listening.
Let me tell you this. Fred is the reason.
Yeah.
I became a Christian.
Really?
Yes.
Hey, next time will you tell us that story?
I will.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
I needed to correct myself. Apparently, secession legally is very cloudy, so it's not easy. I said you could do it. It's not. It's historically never been done.
Yeah, you have to have a quorum and things of that nature.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I think you do have to have a quorum, but it's a little bit more difficult than that, too.
Yeah.
Have a great afternoon, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow with another edition of Today's Issues.